This morning, if you have your Bibles, we want to continue our study through the book of Revelation. And this morning, we're coming to chapter 12, and we want to look at chapter 12. This morning, we need to understand that the Lord is in control no matter what we see around us. In the day in which we live, it seems like everything is out of control at times, especially I heard one woman say, I get so depressed, and she was talking to this gentleman, and he said, well, what are you doing? And she said, well, I get up in the morning, and the first thing I do is I turn on the TV and watch the news, and then at noon I watch the news, and then at night at 6 I watch the news. And he says, well, my number one suggestion with you would be quit watching the news. And it's really true. One looks at the news and it's no longer news, it's propaganda. And the Bible tells us that we're to rather put our trust in the Lord and our hope in Him, and we should be in His Word, reading His Word and not listening to the news. Because the events that we see happening around us, it's interesting to know what's going on if you can find out the truth, because there's a lot happening that the Bible said was going to happen. And we should be excited as Christians as we begin to see things happening all around us and realize that the Lord could come at any time for His bride, the church, that we are living in the last days. And even if the Lord in His mercy and grace would tarry for another 100 years, guess what? We're still one day closer to His coming. And that's the attitude which we as Christians should be living, not in fear, but in hopefulness, and also understanding that we have answers that the world doesn't have. And we can give people hope that are in despair. We can cause people to be set free from their fear and brought into a relationship with their Creator God, and they can understand their purpose and meaning for being here. You know, the Bible tells us and gives us all the reasons that God created you. And do you know the number one reason, and this we're getting off the topic just a little bit, but I want to introduce it to understand that He's in control. God created each one of you for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to bring glory to Him. That was His main purpose in creating every man, woman, and child. That's why He created them in His image, so that we can bring glory to Him and His name. It's because of our willful rebellion against Him and our sin that that doesn't happen. But the thing is, He sent His Son to redeem us that it could be restored and that we could bring glory to His name as He intended us to do. So this morning as we look at this, I want us to understand that as evil as everything seems that is going on, and as we're going to be talking about Israel today in today's message, and as you look at the Middle East, you're thinking, oh my, wow, they are really out to get Israel, and they are. The whole world is turning against Israel. Anti-Semitism is growing. And we're going to find out there's a reason for it. And the thing is, if you don't think it's growing in the United States, it is. There's been synagogues that have been attacked in the U.S. At one of the college campuses, this was just a bit ago, a gentleman who's a believer in Christ wanted to just test something. So he went on the campus and he took around a Palestinian flag. And he stood on the campus holding this Palestinian flag. All kinds of people came up to him, congratulated him, told him how they were with him, told him that the Palestinians were being oppressed and they desired to see them have justice. And then, the next day, he went out with an Israeli flag. And he stood and he held the Israeli flag. And guess what happened? Everyone came and cursed at him. They said, these people are out to... practicing apartheid in Israel. They're persecuting the poor Palestinians. And they went on and on and on. And it showed what he was really trying to do was just document, and I think he filmed a lot of this, the reactions that these people had, to show that anti-Semitism is alive and real in America. It's on our college campuses. It's in our cities. And there's a reason. Satan's behind it. And if you've got a people that don't listen to God, don't read His Word, who are they in tune with? And who's giving them direction to their life? And what are they listening to as far as what they're going to believe and what they're going to do? Let's take a look at chapter 12 and see what Satan desires to do and what God's plan is. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon, and her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to deliver, to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled unto the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Let's just bow and pray. Lord, I pray that you would just help us, as we look at your word this morning, to understand what you have revealed to John, and help us to understand how it's applicable to us, even in the day in which we live. And Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word, and may your spirit teach us the things we need to learn. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. John is seeing something very interesting. We've been looking at all the things. The seventh trumpet has blown. And as we're going to see, this is introducing a number of things that are going to occur on the earth. It's going to introduce the last 3.5 years, which is referred to as Jacob's trouble, or the Great Tribulation, or the time when God's wrath is poured out upon a world which is in rebellion to him, and Satan and his wrath is poured out against Israel, trying to consume and destroy them. And the culmination of Satan's war against God is about ready to come to its final conclusion, with Jesus returning at the end of the Great Tribulation. John introduces this by revealing what God has showed to him. And a lot of people have misinterpreted, I believe, who this woman is. Because this woman is not Mary. This woman stands for Israel. And it's interesting, the description that's given of her, if you would go to Genesis chapter 37, verse 9. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 9, remember the account there. Joseph was given dreams. And in one of the dreams, well, he had two dreams that were very disturbing to his brothers, and the second of the dreams was disturbing to his father and mother as well. But if you look at these dreams, they occurred the first, and it begins in Genesis chapter 37, verse 9, and we're going to look at the second dream just briefly this morning as an introduction to who this woman is. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and I behold the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, and his father observed the saying, and his brother went indeed to their father's flock in Shechem. Now, we know that this dream specifically dealt with what was going to occur in the near future in here, where Joseph was going to be sold into slavery by his brothers, in part because of their envy over this dream. Because who are you, the youngest in our family, to be bowed down to, not only by us, but by our mother and father as well? And they became very envious of Joseph. Joseph had been really shown favor by his father above his brethren. And so they sold him into slavery. And as they sold him into slavery, we know the account. We're not going to spend a lot of time just to remind you that he ended up through God's hand. It was all God's provision, even though his brothers meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And God took that evil event and placed Joseph in a position where he was prime minister. And there came the day where his 11 brothers and his mother and his father bowed down before him, because he was the one that they had to come to in order to get food, and he preserved them as a people and also as a nation. And this was God's plan. But it gives us a picture into the imagery that was given to Joseph of who Israel was. And the nation of Israel, this was Israel in its infancy. They weren't a large nation then, they were just a people. They were the sons of Israel and the wife of Israel and Israel himself. Well, we see here that in Revelation chapter 12, it talks about this woman, and it gives a description of this woman, and it appeared to be a great wonder. And I want to just pause here for a second. The wonder is a word that we are more common with in our day is sign. There's a great wonder. There's a great sign in heaven. And the sign in heaven is a revelation of how God is going to do his plan in redeeming mankind. He'd revealed it way back at the Garden of Eden to Adam and Eve, where he talked about the fact that he was going to send one who would crush the serpent's head and the serpent would bruise his heel, and it would be the seed of woman. And woman, as we know, doesn't have a seed. She needs to have a joined to a man, and it's the man's seed that brings forth the child. But this is going to be unique, in that all of history, this was going to be a virgin birth. There was going to be God's son that was going to be conceived within the womb of a woman. And that had been promised back in the book of Genesis. Now, how was God going to do it? Well, we're given a picture of who the people that he's going to use, and it's going to be Israel. We're given an example, a visual drawing, if you would, of the symbolism of what Israel was, and Israel was a sun. The mother was the moon, and the brethren were the 12 stars. That was a picture given in Genesis. Now we come here, and he says there's a great sign in heaven, and the sign in heaven is that he's got a redemptive plan. And the plan is he's going to work through a people that he's going to create. Remember, all the countries of the nations came about by men. You can go back and you can look at they've got the listing of all the nations that came after the flood that are recorded in the book of Genesis, and they all come, they're the sons of men. And that's how they were formed. God says Israel's different. Israel is a different nation in that he created it. He set it apart. It's his creation for his purpose. And as we see here, the sign in heaven is the revelation of the fact that he has got a redemptive plan to redeem mankind. Satan hates that plan. Why does Satan hate that plan? Satan wants all men to join in rebellion against God with him. He wants all men to rise up and rebel against their Creator and acknowledge him, Satan, as God. That's Satan's plan. And so when he sees this, he becomes very angry. When God's got a redemptive plan, because at the conclusion of this redemptive plan, the redemptive plan is put in place because of what? Because of sin. Because of rebellion against God. God is going to redeem back those rebels that have risen up against him. And those rebels rose up against him at the instigation of Satan. And so we see here that this is God's plan. And it begins and it says that this woman was clothed with the sun and the moon and her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child, travailing in birth, pained to be delivered. Now there's more than that than just the actual time when Mary was going to deliver Jesus is being spoken of here. I want you to go back and look at the history of the nation of Israel. God had revealed His plan in not full detail, but the early fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, understood the plan. There were those that were before them that knew the plan, men like Job, who said that he would one day stand before his Redeemer. He understood he needed a Redeemer. He understood resurrection and that he couldn't raise himself from the dead, but his Redeemer would, and he would stand before him. They understood that there was coming one to redeem them, to set them free from their sin, and to bring them back into fellowship and intimacy with God and into His presence. And we see here that the nation of Israel was the conduit, if you would, through whom the Messiah would come. Throughout the history of the world, there's never been a group of people who have been persecuted more for no reason, and who have desired to be just melt into cultures and be ignored. If you go back prior to World War II, you know, most Jewish people that came out of Russia, I mean out of Germany rather, they've got German names. Why do they have German names and German sounding names? Why did they quit speaking Hebrew and start speaking Yiddish, which was kind of a combination of German and Hebrew? Why did they dress like the Germans? Because they wanted to not be identified, for the large part. Many of them still were, but a large part didn't want to be identified as Jews. Why? Because they were persecuted. Throughout history, they've been persecuted. When did it start? You can go all the way back, even to the time of Abraham, when there were those who desired to come against Abraham. But you had people when the nation of Israel was being delivered out of Egypt, people who should have known the truth, like the Moabites and the Amorites, they sought to destroy the Jews. We saw also that the Amalekites, on the way out, were consistently coming against the Jewish people, trying to destroy the Jewish people as they were marching. There was over 1 million people that came out of Egypt. When you stop and do the math and how long they were there, and it probably was about 1 million people that came out of Egypt. That'd be a long line of people marching, and there'd be those that would be stragglers, and the Amalekites would come out and pick off the stragglers, kill them. And so Joshua, under the direction of Moses, rose up against them and fought them. At the time of Esther, there were Jews living throughout the Persian Empire. There's a man came to power by the name of Haman. And Haman had one intent, and one intent only, and that was to kill all the Jews in the kingdom of Persia. He flattered, he lied, and he offered the king a bribe if he'd make a decree to kill the Jews. And the king bought into it. You see this throughout history. In modern times, we talk about Hitler and his final solution. His final solution was to get rid of the Jews. What have the Jews done to Germany? If you go and look at the history of Germany, the Jewish people were some of the most industrious, some of the smartest. Their smartest scientists were Jews. Some of their greatest people in finance were Jews. Some of their best people in business were Jews. Why would they want to kill the Jews? Because it had nothing to do with Hitler. It had everything to do with Satan. And Satan was inspiring a man who was listening to him. But a lot of people don't even realize Did you know that Stalin sought to kill the Jews and persecute the Jews? The world doesn't talk much about Stalin, but he did the same thing. And today, you've got nations in the Middle East whose full intent is to annihilate Israel and kill all the Jews. I heard an imam say, yeah, let all the Jews come to Israel, because then we'll have them all gathered in one place and then we can kill them all at once. Today, Iran is getting a nuclear weapon, and they're much closer to having a nuclear weapon. You know why they want to have a nuclear weapon? It's not because they feel threatened by Russia, or even feel threatened by the United States, although they call the United States the great Satan, because we really declare ourselves to be a Christian nation and worship Jesus Christ, was our foundational principles. But the whole reason they want to have a nuclear weapon is to annihilate Israel. Can you imagine, like, the hatred? Did you develop a whole weapon system that is so powerful that if they used it, I mean, these people don't even think straight. If they used a nuclear weapon in Israel, do you realize the impact it would have on even their own people and their own nation? They're not that far from Israel. But when you're insanely filled with hatred and driven by Satan, you don't think straight. And today, Israel is surrounded by enemies that want to annihilate her. Satan said that he was going to try to do this, and it says, and being with child, she cried, and travailing in birth, and pain to deliver. The promise was given to Abraham, the promise was given to Adam thousands of years ago. 6,000 to Adam and about 3,500 or 4,000 to Abraham. And yet, the Messiah came 2,000 years ago. But what happened when the Messiah came? It says here in the Scriptures, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, another sign in heaven. What was the other sign in heaven? The other sign in heaven was there's a great red dragon. Now it's interesting. This great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. What is he speaking of here? This great red dragon and his tail casting a third of the stars. The symbolism of the stars here is the angels. When Satan rebelled, you can go back and look in Isaiah, and you can read about his rebellion, and you can see that also when he rebelled, he deceived a third of the angels went with him in rebellion against God. Today we refer to them as demons. As demonic spirits, as fallen angels, as those who seek to undermine and destroy the faith of God's people at the direction of their leader, Satan. But not only that, Satan goes by a number of different names in Scripture. He's referred to as Satan, which means the great adversary or God's adversary. Also, he goes by that old serpent, the one who beguiled or deceived Eve. And he's still in the bout of deception today. He desires to deceive people and he deceives them, appealing to their lusts, telling them they're going to receive things that he knows they are only going to lead ultimately to judgment and death. The great deceiver, that old serpent. Referred to as the devil, the slanderer. He's a slanderer of all God's people. You know that Satan still has access before the throne of God today, but there's coming a day very soon where he's going to be cast down when the great tribulation, at the midpoint of the great tribulation, he's cast down forever. He can't go before the throne of God anymore. But today, God allows him. And when he comes as the accuser of the saints. He goes and he will tempt you to do something. And when you fall to that temptation, his little minions, his demons, report back to him. And he goes before the Lord and he says, "Did you know what Glenn did today? Did you know that Glenn lost his temper? Did you know that Glenn lied? Did you know that Glenn lusted? Did you know that Glenn did this? That Glenn did that? He shouldn't be your son. How can you allow him to say that he's your child?" You know what the Bible tells us? That as accuser of the brethren is standing before the throne of God, we have a defense attorney in Jesus Christ. He stands up and he says, he doesn't have a case. He's covered by my blood. His sins are forgiven. There is no case here. He is your child. He's been bought with my blood. What Satan is referred to as the great accuser of the brethren, the devil. And it says here that he's going to desire to consume and destroy the baby at the time of its birth. Verse 5, "And she brought forth a man-child," and that occurred when Jesus was born of Mary in Bethlehem. And I want you to understand what happened at that birth. First of all, everything occurred exactly like the Scriptures foretold. If you were the Creator of the universe, the Redeemer of the universe, the Sustainer of the universe, the King of the universe, and you were going to take on a human form and be born, if we were going to make it a Hollywood movie, we'd have him being born in the best and most plush palace in the world. But the Scriptures told us he was going to be born in a stable amongst animals. We would have, in our movie, we would have all of the dignitaries and everybody that had power and position in the world coming to honor and to worship this new king. He was going to have shepherds watching their flocks by night, being told by angels to come and adore this baby. I want you to know shepherds weren't on the high socioeconomic status list even in Jerusalem at the time. Shepherds weren't on the ones that were on the best dressed. They didn't win the best dressed clothes award of the year. Shepherds were common people. But you see, Jesus came understanding that there is no man who isn't a sinner in the eyes of God. And that we all needed this Redeemer. And so he had the most common of men come to worship and herald his birth. Because if you read this count in the Scriptures in the Gospel of Matthew, it says that after they came, they went forth proclaiming his birth to all who would listen. This was the one that was born. Well, what was Satan up to when God was doing all these things? Fulfilling all these prophecies that he had given of how that through this conduit of Israel, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, down through David, that there would come and that he would be descendant of all of them, and that he would come and be born in a manger in the nation of Israel, in the city of Jerusalem, in the city of Bethlehem, and he'd be a Jew. What was Satan up to? Satan was trying to figure out how to kill him. Because if he could kill him when he was an infant, he'd never make it to the cross. And you can read in an account that Herod was filled with envy and hatred of anyone he felt was a threat to his crown. And what caused him to have those attitudes? What causes any of us to have attitudes? Well, it's our own sinful nature, but who appeals to our sinful nature? Satan. This world and the devil appeal to our sinful nature. Herod was such a wicked man. Did you know that Herod had his own family killed because he thought that they might take over his... This is how wicked a man he was. His own kids! He had some of his own kids killed. He had his wife killed. All because he was concerned that they might take over his throne. So then he hears these three wise men that show up on his door one day, and they come and they say, did you know that there's a king of Israel? And we are seeing his star, and it's foretold that he was to be born. And we wonder, we came to see him. And where would you go if you were the wise men? You'd go to Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, where the throne of the king would be. And so they went to the throne of the king, but guess who's sitting in it? Not Jesus, Herod. And Herod acts very meek and mild and says, I want to worship this king too. Go and find him and tell him, come back here and tell me where he's at. But what his motives were? So I can go with my soldiers and kill him. And we'll be done with this. I'll be king. And Satan was motivating him to do it, because then Satan goes, then I'll be king. Because God isn't God if he can't deliver on his word. God isn't God if he can't deliver on his promise. And men can never be redeemed if God can't deliver them through his plan of redemption, and then I will be king. That's Satan's thinking. You know what Herod did? The wise men didn't come back because God directed them not to go back. So Herod waited and waited, and then all of a sudden, he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem. But Jesus had already been taken by Joseph and Mary to Egypt under the direction of God's angels and God's Spirit. So he wasn't there. But Herod had every baby boy under 3 years of age slaughtered. That's the hatred of Satan. That's the delusion of Satan. And that's what it says here that he was attempting to do. It says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Not because Satan wanted it to, but he was caught up to God and his throne. How was that? That explains, it gives the abbreviation of Christ's life, and that he ended up going to the cross, being buried, and rose again from the dead, and sits today at the right hand of God the Father. And the woman fled into the wilderness, and there she hath a place prepared of God. Now, we're jumping ahead again, and if you look at this, you have to understand some of the things in the book of Revelation. It doesn't give you every aspect of everything. This particular passage here is giving you the short view of this war between God and Satan, and now we're coming to the last days. And the woman flees into the wilderness. We know that that's true because Jesus said that the nation of Israel, those who were alive, and they heard that the abomination of desolation had occurred in the temple, they were to flee. They weren't to go back into their homes and get anything. If they were on the rooftop, they were to come down and flee. They were to just drop everything and flee. Why? Because he knew what the intent of the one who had committed the desolation of the abomination was. It was to kill all the Jews. Because you see, there's one last chance, one last victory that Satan could have that would enable him to declare himself to be God. And that would be if he could kill every Jew. Get rid of them all. Because you see, the Lord has promised still some promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that have not been fulfilled. Specifically dealing with his physical descendants, the Jewish people. They are going to have... Did you know that the nation of Israel has never fully had what God had promised them as far as their landmass? If you go and read the account of what the borders It's never been completely under their control. Came close during the time of Solomon and David, but that's the closest it's come. And what do we hear now? Divide the land, divide the land, divide the land. Give the land back to this group, give it to this group, but take it away from the Jews. Even though right now Israel doesn't have everything they've been promised. Well, when are they going to get it? When is God going to fulfill that? Do you realize there has to be physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that are alive on the earth, and God gives them that land? Do you know when that's going to happen? During the time of the millennial reign of Christ. Do you know how it can happen? Because the church is going to be caught up. You and I, if we're believers in Christ, we're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. We're going to receive a glorified body. And we will be coming back with the Lord. It tells us that at the end of the last half of the tribulation, when Christ returns to deliver Israel. And that's the reason of His return. And when He comes back with His 10,000 of saints, as it's recorded in the book of Jude, it says here that you and I will rule and reign with Him during this 1,000-year period, but there will also be people upon the earth who will come into that period, that they'll come in their physical bodies. They'll be able to bear children because they don't have a glorified body. They'll have a physical body, and there'll be children born to them during that time. The major part of those people are going to be the Jewish people. One-third of the Jewish people will be left alive. They will have fled and be protected in the wilderness, even as it says here. As you look and read the account, it's interesting that it says that the Antichrist, we studied that in the book of Daniel when we were going through there, that he's going to have control over all the Middle East, except it's interesting. He won't have control over where Moab, Ammon, and the descendants of I just lost the name, Edom. We won't have control over Edom. Those three areas, which is much of it's Jordan and southern Jordan, and he won't have control over that. And it says that the Lord will go to Basra to get his people and bring them back, and that's where Basra is. So as they're fleeing, a lot of people feel that they're going to be fleeing down there, and that the Antichrist, because God's hand of protection will be upon them, he won't be able to touch them there, even though he's going to be going crazy trying to kill all the Jews. And he's also going to be because Satan knows his time's short, there's going to be a lot of things going on, which we'll be seeing later on. But the thing is, God knew all this. And God's foretelling and showing John what's going to happen. And he hasn't forgotten Israel. As much as the world hates Israel today, as much as the church is turning their back on Israel today, because there's a lot of people in the church today that say the church has replaced Israel. It hasn't. Israel is still distinctive from the church. We are two separate entities. Israel is the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That is Israel. The church is the spiritual descendants of Abraham, Isaac, of Jacob, if you would. And those that are the believers in Jesus Christ and have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior, that's the church. Part of the Jewish community, part of the Jewish people are Christians. I know Jews who are Christians. They are brothers and sisters in the Lord. They'll be raptured just like you and I. But there are a lot of unbelieving Jews today. You go to Israel, the most of the Jews in Israel today are either secular Jews, Orthodox Jews, New Orthodox Jews, but they're not believing in the Messiah. There's a growing number of Jewish people coming to faith in Christ, but still the majority of Jewish people in the world do not believe in Jesus. They're going to go into the tribulation period not believing Jesus. One-third of those that go in will come out seeing Jesus return to save them from the Antichrist and from the world armies that are surrounding Jerusalem and seeking to destroy any remnant of the Jewish people. And He'll redeem them. And they'll look upon Him whom they pierced and realize He is their Redeemer. It's coming. And they will enter into the millennial kingdom. And guess what? Jesus is going to give them. Because there's not going to be any Palestinians. There's not going to be any Syrians. There's not going to be any Iranians. There's not going to be anybody standing in the way of God saying, this is their land. This is their land. and it's going to happen. And so John closes this little portion in saying that, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days." You know how long that is? 3.5 years. The last half of the tribulation period. That they will be preserved by God. Well, next week we're going to be looking at the war in heaven. But what's amazing is we're living in the day where these events are beginning to happen before our eyes. I've shared with you before, as we've been going through Daniel and Revelation, when I was a kid growing up, I couldn't figure out how half of these things could happen. Today I can. And I can see how they'll happen. With modern technology, with artificial intelligence, with computers, and the modern broadcasting, these things can all happen. Are we prepared? I had the songs for a purpose today that we sang at the beginning that talked about our position in Christ, our purpose in Christ, and what we're called to do in Christ. We're to seek higher ground. We're to seek that God would make us a blessing to other people. We are to rise up and realize we do not have to fear, we do not have to be cower, but we can stand strong in Christ, and we can do what He's called us to do and proclaim what He's called us to proclaim, and we do not have to fear. Praise God for ministers like the ones in Canada that stood and called their congregations to worship, even though they knew they'd probably go to jail, and some of them have. And that we are to be piloted or directed by Jesus in all of our endeavors. And when we do these things, we will bring glory to Him and we'll fulfill our commission that He's given to us. And that is to proclaim the gospel message to those that do not know it. I want you to understand, we talked about it this morning, people don't get it. There's a day of reckoning coming. For some, it's sooner than later. If you don't know Christ and you die, there's no hope. The point of your acceptance is sealed. You're headed to hell. The day of that are those that would join forces with the Antichrist to rise up in total rebellion against God in a world system that is so corrupt, and you're seeing the beginnings of that system rise up and not be covering itself anymore. They're saying things and they're doing things that before they did in the shadows and in darkness because they didn't want the world to, now they want the world to join with them. If you join with the world in that final rebellion against God, you'll stand and give an account before the Lord on that day when He returns and when He has the great white throne judgment at the end of the millennial kingdom. And the only hope is if you call out on the mercy of God to receive the grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's our calling. To share that message. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand this. Lord, help us to share with others the hope that we have in Christ. This we ask in Jesus' name.